good luck with the most beautiful game. Do us proud.
Red alert! They're up and running again. So smooth, so sweet, splendid, succinct, just glorious execution.
Guys, all I'm looking for is 60% effort, 4,000% of the time.
How sharp was that? Sharp of mind and body.
And that's why you see those beautiful tears.
Look at his movements. The most dangerous man on the planet. Nobody picks him up.
Wide-eyed, thrilled, bemused. How on earth did that happen?
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Wonder Goal, the soccer betting podcast from the Action Network. My name is Michael Lieboff. Joining me for this episode as we preview the upcoming first legs of the Champions League semifinals is BJ Cunningham. Anthony is away this week. BJ, we got two matches to get to. No English Premier League teams in the Champions League semifinal. Bit of a shock, but should be a lot of fun. I think it's there's plenty of ways this thing could go. Let's start with the headliner, I would say, which is Tuesday at 3 p.m. Eastern time, Bayern Munich hosting Real Madrid. I don't want to say nobody gave Bayern Munich a chance, but I don't think anyone really rushed to back this team with the way the season's been going, with the way that everyone's been bickering with the coach. The coach is a lame duck coach. It'd be pretty funny if they renege on that now that if they do win the Champions League or something funny. But here we go. They are at home plus 140. Real Madrid coming in plus 175 on the three-way line. To advance, Bayern is a plus 150 underdog and Real Madrid minus 200 to reach the final. I think that this first leg sets up okay for a draw with the way Real Madrid kind of looks at these two-leg knockout stages. Like we saw, even, I mean, the City match, it's hard to say that they wanted that to happen, right? To go draw, but and with the way the matches went out. But it does feel like Ancelotti always takes like a big picture approach to these. We said this before the City first leg, and I wouldn't think a 1-1 or even like a 0-0 is out of the question here. So he's going to look to try to shut this down and keep things tidy, take this big crowd out of the equation. So I think something along the lines of a draw looks good. I think plus 250, and that kind of goes into what you're going to say, because if we do come out of here with a draw, I mean, both teams would have an opportunity in that second leg, but you're looking at the underdog here.
Yeah, more it's just a price thing. You know, when I came into this semifinal and we were waiting for the odds to come out, I kind of expected Real Madrid to be probably around minus 150, minus 140 in that range, because, if you look at the underlying numbers for both these teams throughout the season, Bayern Munich's been better in the Bundesliga. A lot of it has to do with the fact that obviously they've been beating up on all these lower end teams, but it's not like La Liga is that much more difficult of a league than the Bundesliga is this year. So you kind of have to think like, okay, like, yes, they'll probably overweight Real Madrid here. And then they just came out and opened Real Madrid to like minus 220 to advance here, which I think it's crazy. And I'm not saying I really even like Bayern that much, but in that first leg, or excuse me, the second leg against Arsenal, what I was most impressed with was their ability out of possession to just stifle Arsenal. Like, they played a really, really good passive mid block. Arsenal could not get through the middle of the pitch. And that same game plan they could bring here to against Real Madrid, because what we know about Real Madrid is, and the matchup with City is why, we liked it so much, is that because they're just a better team without the ball and when they're playing in transition. Like, not saying they're a bad team when they have the ball. Like, they've done it really well in La Liga this season. But when they play these elite teams, like, they have the pace and the ability to wreck them with Bellingham, Vinicius Jr., and Rodrigo. So the one thing about Thomas Tuchel that has remained true throughout his entire career, and he did it against Arsenal, is when he hones in on a weakness from the opponent team, he blitzes it over and over and over again. And sometimes it's to his detriment. Sometimes it backfires on him. But against Arsenal, he lined up Guerrero and Mazraoui on the same left-hand side, essentially played Guerrero as like a left winger, because it helped them be solid defensively. And those two are great guys at combining down the left-hand pitch. Both are great at doing overlaps and creating chances via crosses, which is ultimately how they scored the game-winning goal. Real Madrid out of possession is going to be a very interesting thing here, because you saw in El Clasico, they're not a good pressing team. Like, if they're forced to press and, like, you know, be put the onus on them, they're not good at doing that. And even playing in a passive defensive block, I mean, not saying they were like, oh my gosh, but they were incredibly lucky to get out of it against City. But I mean, they did concede 33 shots and 2.7 expected goals. So if they play very passively against Bayern, who have outstanding ball carriers, finishers all over the pitch, Harry Kane's been in incredible form. I don't know if this is really the best like matchup for them. Even though City's a better team than Bayern, I think Bayern is well more tactically versed and much more willing to play without the ball and play in transition. At least they showed that against Arsenal. And I think they will try and do that because, you know, I kind of go back to their match against Leverkusen when Leverkusen beat them 3-0. What Leverkusen did in that match is they just gave Bayern the ball and they just said, hey, we're going to be solid defensively. We're going to press you and then we're going to beat you in transition, which is probably what Real Madrid's going to do here. So I'm very interested to see who actually controls more possession in this first leg and even in the second leg here. But again, we're getting to a pretty crazy price on Real Madrid, I guess just because Bayern's in a lame duck status. But I can tell you this much, like, I think the players are going to care about winning the Champions
League. Right, right, yeah.
Like, it's not like it's like Bayern's not motivated anymore.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. So I like Bayern to advance at plus 155 to the final. I just think Real Madrid's a little overvalued here.
Yeah, I mean, I tend to agree with you too. Like, I think the draw is my favorite bet here. It is just quite peculiar that we got the this Champions League set up where, of course, the teams that are battling for the title, fighting tooth and nail for the title in the Premier League are out of it. Bayern is on the beach in terms of the Bundesliga. Real Madrid is far, like, you know, they're done. They've basically wrapped up La Liga, and Dortmund, of course, not involved in the Bundesliga either. PSG's all but wrapped up the league. So it's every team's sole focus is going to be on the Champions League. It's like the league doesn't even exist to any of these teams, which is quite peculiar as well. So not too much like try to like thread the needle with in terms of how they're going to approach or lineups, etc. But yeah, these Real Madrid draws are they're quite interesting here. I think Ancelotti,
yeah,
you know, just. And it makes sense, right? Like they're able to both shut down a game and also be a team that they have the guys who can create moments of magic to help a comeback, whether it's one or two goals down. So that's where I'll be looking. Let's look at Wednesday. This one, I feel like it's going to be one-way traffic between Dortmund and PSG. Dortmund is the home team for leg one. They are plus 200 to advance. And minus 275 is the price you pay on PSG to make the final. In terms of the three-way line at Bet365 right now, it's Dortmund plus 170 as a home dog. PSG plus 140. The tie here would pay plus 260. I mean, this Dortmund team has been something else in the Champions League. I think it's one of the more remarkable stories of this soccer season. And it feels like nobody's ready to talk about it just yet because they want to see if they could get through another tough customer and a team that they were in the group of death with in the Champions League that everybody thought, including us, thought that they'd finish last in behind Milan, Newcastle, and PSG. Then they get through the knockout stages and see off Atleti, which was heartbreaking for us. But, you know, there's something to be said, I think, about these teams that are able to scratch and claw their way through, you know, first couple knockout stages. But this looks like a bridge too far. Considering the matchup, right? Like, I think PSG could be putting up something crooked here. I like the plus 140 on PSG on the three-way line on Wednesday. I think that they can, I don't want to say they can name it. That's too disrespectful to Dortmund, but I do think that it's going to be tough sledding for the Germans to slow down this PSG offense.
Yeah, I agree. I like PSG's team total over 1.5, minus 115. So, yeah, third, like you said, they were in the group of death together, third meeting between the two. There were a couple problems that existed for Dortmund in both of those meetings that I don't know if are really correctable going into this one. The first is that when Dortmund had possession in PSG's final third and they lost the ball, PSG was just looking to break just immediately and quickly. And they obviously have some of the fastest players in the entire world. And Dortmund, by nature, their backline is just slow. So PSG just kept making runs off their back line. It was one pass over the top. It was Mbappe, Koulibaly, Dembele were all getting in behind Dortmund time and time again. And the second problem is that Dortmund has really struggled in both those meetings defending in wide areas. Hakimi would always come up and they would play 1-2 combinations with him and Dembele and just create chances via crosses over and over and over again. So over the two legs, PSG scored 3 times. They created 5.2 expected goals. They hit the post twice. They had a certain goal saved off the line by Sule in the second meeting. PSG had 36 shots and 80 touches in Dortmund's penalty area over those two meetings. The other aspect of what PSG had success with is, especially in the first meeting in Paris, they pressed Dortmund relentlessly, and Dortmund could not get the ball out of their own final third for large, large stretches of the match. And it's why they ended up losing 2-0. And that just comes down to the categorical problem with Dortmund is that when they try to be a build-up team, they have largely been unsuccessful with it. Like, we saw that's how Atletico scored off of them. Like, when they were playing in Spain, it was just dumb mistakes and build-up. And they can very well do it again here because PSG, over those two meetings, had a passes per defensive action of 6.8 and 16 high turnovers. So PSG is going to press them. Dortmund is going to have to play direct, if they try to build out of the back, I think they're almost certain going to make mistakes. I think that this is, again, like you said, one-way traffic. I don't really want to back PSG's defense, quite frankly, because if they try to press here in Dortmund, like, Dortmund did have success getting through their press. Like, it wasn't just like it was like, oh my gosh, they couldn't do anything. As the game went on, they got better and better at getting through it. But those countless mistakes ended up costing them in terms of goals. So would just rather back PSG's offense against Dortmund's defense, which, you know, the transition defense's defensive problems are still there. Like, they have a much tougher encounter this weekend where they have to go to Leipzig while PSG gets kind of a tune-up against Lehav again in Ligue 1. So, just going to target PSG's attack, projected them for 1.8 goals. So over 1.5 minus 115 on PSG's team total for me.
Okay, before we get into the Europa League and the Europa Conference League, let's remind you that Wonder Goal is proudly presented by Bet365, and Bet365 doesn't do ordinary. That's why you get more boosts with them than anyone else. Every day they power up the odds on hundreds of bets to give you a chance to win more. Bet365 boosts specific markets, your winnings, and even parlays. And they don't stop there. Keep an eye out for their biggest and best odds with the incredible Super Boost. Check out the boost to see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. You must be 21. Or older and present in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Iowa, Louisiana, North Carolina, New Jersey, Ohio, Virginia, or 18 and older in Kentucky to play. If you or anyone you know have a gambling problem, please call 1-800-GAMBLER or 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. Terms, conditions, and restrictions apply. Okay, Europa League time. It is Marseille and Atalanta, Roma and Leverkusen in the final four there. Other side, in the Conference League semifinals, Aston Villa and Olympiacos out of Greece, and then Fiorentina and Club Brugge. What do you got?
Yeah, so I like Atalanta in the first leg here on the road, drawn a bet plus 108, which is available at Bet365. Atalanta is just a really fun team to watch right now, doing really good stuff with their defense and in build up. You know, Gasperini is a guy who wants to build out with a back three, use a lot of passing triangles to get through the opponent's pressure. Marseille under Gattuso was, you know, they were really actually really good. They just weren't getting results. And he was more of a let's control possession. Let's press from the front. Let's be relentless. Whereas now they're under Gasset, who was, you know, obviously the manager of Ivory Coast, who got fired during AFCON. He's more of just like the substitute teacher of just like, you know what, let's just play a little more passively. Let's play on the break more in transition, which is actually kind of, I think, benefits Marseille more and more. But the thing about Atalanta is they're a fantastic defense, not only in transition, but in rest defense. Ishak Hines been an incredible central midfielder for them that can really lock down Aubameyang. And Atalanta might have the hottest striker on the planet. Gianluca Scamacca, 15 goals in 20.190, scored 7 goals in his last 7 appearances. He's a big-time aerial threat in the box. He's really good at hold-up play. So, you know, Atalanta's underlying metrics are a little bit worse than Marseille's here in terms of, but, you know, Serie A is obviously a way more difficult league than Ligue 1. So I did project Atalanta as a small road favorite. This is also a tough run in here for Marseille. They've got to play a lot of really difficult matches. They had to play in the midweek against Nice. Then on the weekend, they got to play Lens in a high-pressure match to get into a Europa Conference League spot in Ligue 1. And now they have to play Atalanta. It's just a lot of matches stacked on top of each other, a lot of high-stakes matches. So I do like Atalanta. And then in the Conference League, I like Club Brugge against Fiorentina, plus a half, plus 120. Club Brugge is putting up just great underlying metrics in the Belgian Pro League, which are in the playoffs right now. And plus 1.13 expected goal differential per 90 minutes. They've just been routing essentially everybody, both in Belgium and throughout the Europa Conference League. Haven't really played a team of the stature of Fiorentina yet, which is a little concerning. But if you look at Fiorentina as a whole for the season, they're right around an even expected goal differential, which is kind of weird when you dig into their metrics, because they're the number one field tilt team in Italy. They're number one at getting the opponent's penalty box. Like, they're number one at getting the final third. The problem with Fiorentina is just everything, once they reach the final third, just kind of breaks down. Like, they don't have a consistent striker that they can get the ball. They've been relying on their midfielders just hitting bangers from outside the box. And the other thing about Fiorentina, and maybe why they're at this like even expected goal differential, because even their defensive metrics are good, is they're one of the worst transition teams in Serie A. There's not many teams in Serie A that can break with the pace that Club Brugge has. So I think Fiorentina is like vastly overvalued here. They've been a very average team throughout the season, and the market just continues to value them like a top six Serie A team when they're more like the eighth or ninth best. So I like Club Brugge here, plus a half at plus 120. I also like them to advance at 158. And if you really believe in them, you might as well back them at 7-1 to win the Conference League if you think they're going to get through here, which is another big price. So kind of all over Club Brugge here. Any one of those three bets, I think, has a lot of value here against Fiorentina.
Our old friends, Club Brugge.
Yeah, things have changed since, you know, don't go back to our shows last year and listen to what I said about them. But things have changed. They actually, funny story, Michael, they were playing really well. And then for whatever reason, they fired their manager. So they've been under caretaker manager, and they've won every match under him, like almost five straight. So I guess a little new manager bounce still happening for them. But I don't know. Weird things are going on with them, but they just keep winning.
All right. That'll do it for this episode. Hopefully you guys are all set up for the Champions League semifinals coming your way on Tuesday, Wednesday. I will be back, of course, recording Wednesday night to preview the upcoming Premier League slate. But until then, thank you for listening. Please rate, review, and subscribe. Thank you to our producer, Noah, and of course, our sponsors, Bet365.
Action Network reminds you, please gamble responsibly. If you or someone you care about has a gambling problem, help is available 24/7 at 1-800-GAMBLER.